Are you in a position where you're defined by your age and that's limiting you to pursue a dream or goal you want to accomplish? The More Than Your Age podcast is about having conversations with women who fully live their lives without being dictated or defined by their age. This is a space to encourage women who feel blocked to pursue a dream or goal based on their life circumstances. Welcome to the More Than Your Age podcast. I am your host, Erica Pasbarn. Let's start living life fully and become more than your age. We all have a perception on what marriage should look like and when it should happen. You may think marriage should happen as soon as you can get married, as young as you can, or that you need to wait until you're older and you've lived a lot of life, or that your life will have value and a purpose once you've met the love of your life. Now, don't get me wrong, it is great to find the love of your life, but really, our lives are not complete or incomplete once we have or have not found the quote-unquote right one. My guest on today's episode shares her journey of what happened when she was trying to find purpose in marriage at an early age. She learned a lot along the way and also shares how her love of singing, music, technology, and her reliance on the Lord helped get her to where she is today. Enjoy this week's episode with my guest, Vindi Ashley. Well, Vindi Stepney, I am excited to have you join the show today. Welcome to the More Than Your Age podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
I love your energy already. Absolutely. Well, Vindi, our mutual friend Laura introduced us in a way to one another. She felt that you would fit right into the concept of being more than your age. And I just really enjoyed our initial conversation and thought, oh, yep, Laura's right. And so I've been looking forward to this. I know we had one scheduled before and then I got sick. And so I'm glad that we were able to make it up today. So I've been looking forward to this.
Me too. I love Laura so much.
Isn't she great? She listens too, so we could just brag on her. We love you, Laura.
She's incredible. We love you, girl. She's incredible, but yeah.
Well, so I want to start us off and have you share, you know, you are a singer, you traveled as a singer. So I'd love to have you share just how you got involved in traveling as a singer and then when you started singing as well.
Okay, so yeah, I'm a singer, songwriter, and producer from Dallas, Texas. I started actually in ministry when I was like 15 years old. So I come from a church, a family full of singers and pastors and deacons and preachers and stuff like that. So, you know, it's just our culture. We kind of just grow up in church and stuff like that. So it was, I just kind of started singing in the church. We started there. And then my sister was kind of training me up to be her, you know, co-singer with her. So we decided to start a group. And she went to my mom and she was like, we want to be serious. We want to be, you know, like singer songwriters. And so my mom, the manager that she is, she went ahead and she just started booking all kind of events and gigs. And so by the time I was 15, I was going on college tours, doing full out ministry events every single weekend for like 10 years straight. So we were on the go for many, many years. And so we've been on a lot of different platforms. But yeah, that's where we started. We started from the church and then we went from 15 years old on.
Wow. So how did she find, like, did she just know, okay, I'm just going to reach out to whoever and say, okay, I've got my daughters. They can sing. You want them? I know you want them. Like, how did she know where to go and start that?
She worked at a law firm, and so she just has like a savviness, like a business savviness about herself. She's always been like this super manager, and she's quick on her feet. And so sometimes, you know, people invite you to one event and then you network and you have conversations and you get numbers. And so my mom, she would take all the opportunities like, hey, this is what we do, you know, and we would just get one event from the next. And so after just networking, and then sometimes she would just put us up like all kind of ads or like this, there's this thing called Reverb Nation. She would be uploading our content, our music and stuff like that and submitting us for different concerts and events. And so if we got submitted for them, we got the opportunity to sing. We've done a showcase. It was like this thing called Bobby Jones Gospel. And so it was like a big TV show back in that time. And so we were so excited, but we only got it because she submitted. She used to always just submit for everything. And so there were some things that we missed, but we got a lot of cool opportunities from that too. So yeah, she's pretty dope. She's amazing.
I was like, what a great mom, man. She's your biggest supporter. Absolutely. That's awesome. Well, when you and your sister would perform, would you do perform your own music or would you do cover songs or kind of a mix? What would y'all do?
Before I was a super singer, I've always been like a songwriter. And so music have always, it's just always come natural for me. And so I can't remember a time in my life where I haven't written music or written songs or anything. So I just always been writing songs. And so we actually, our first time singing at events, we would sing a cover of somebody's song. So basically, that's just me singing somebody else's song. And then we would start with the first one and we'll do a cover song. And then the second one, we would do one of our originals, or sometimes we would flip it. And so we'll do one of our originals first and then we'll warm people up with a crowd favorite. But yeah, that's exactly how we did it. And it was so much fun. It was the glory days.
Now, when you would also perform, would it be just strictly gospel music or would you also have some secular songs as well?
There were some days. So we did gospel music. But I think there was a brief time where we did like Six Flags and stuff like that, where we would do like a mix of like, you know, some secular, you might hear Rihanna or something like that, like Diamonds or something like that. But, and then we had a YouTube channel too, and we did a mix of songs too. So yeah, it's a little mix of everything, but mostly Christian music, mostly Christian.
Okay. Now, because you were doing this with your sister, did you ever have a desire to do a solo singing career on your own, or was it more, no, I'm used to doing it with my sister, so we're going to keep doing this?
Well, I mean, so my sister, no shade to her, because I'm sure she's going to watch this, but like 12 years in, we just kind of got tired. And so my sister got married. And after she got married, she decided she didn't want to do it anymore. And so I was like, what do I do with my life? Like, what happens to me now? And that's when I started to do, okay, I'm going to do my solo career. I'm going to start singing and songwriting and producing for myself. And so I kind of just started my journey of like, okay, I need to go ahead and start pushing my own music out. And all of the songs that I've been writing that I haven't been able to do, I was like, I'm going to do that. So I have some R&B music out. And it's actually, you can find it on Apple Music and iTunes and Spotify. You can find it everywhere. But so that's what I did the first year. And then the second year, I decided to go back to going Christian music.
Okay. Now, when your sister said, I'm done, you're on your own, was music your primary career or did you have additional jobs as well?
Yes. So I've been working in the tech space for a long time now. So after college, me and my sister, we were really busy and we were doing a lot of things, but I said I needed to get a trade. So I wasn't able to go off to like a university because we were always touring and we were always going. So I just was like, I don't want to leave my ministry. I don't want to leave my music yet. And so I went ahead and I did a local trade school. And I got my network administration degree. And that was probably one of the best things that I've ever done. That was one of the most solid decisions, just because I was able to, I launched myself into the IT space, and that brought a lot of stability to me. I can't say enough about how amazing that opportunity was. And I've never been without a job. I haven't really been without a job since because I decided to get my network administration degree. And then from that degree, I was able to get some experience in the tech space. And so, yeah, it's been really beneficial.
Wow, that's great that you were able to accomplish that and have this income, like this secure income coming in, and then also pursue this dream of yours, you know, this singing career and this passion that you have. Now, I know that in the midst, and you'll have to tell me kind of where this falls into place as well, eventually you jump into a relationship and then you marry this man after a short time of knowing him. I'd love for you to just share how you met him and where you were at this time, what life was like at this time.
Oh, absolutely. So this is shortly after I stopped doing ministry with my sister. We decided to go ahead and just stop. And it was kind of a hard stop for me. So I was doing ministry from the time I was like 15 years old. And from 15 all the way to like 23, 24 is when this happened. Right now I'm 33. But around like 20, I was like early 20s when this happened. But it's so interesting because the moment I stopped doing ministry full time and I started to feel really lonely, there was like an overwhelming sense of like just loneliness and just, man, like I wish I had my own person. I saw my sister getting married and having children and stuff like that. And I was like, man, I want that too. Like maybe I should like pour myself into relationship and marriage and stuff. So I was just kind of at a vulnerable place, and I'll never forget. I was actually, I was at home one day, and I was like, I was feeling really sorry for myself one day. I don't know. I was feeling really sorry for myself. And I was like, I really want to be in a relationship. I want to be with someone. I want to be in love, because I was just a hopeless romantic at the time. And I just was like, I want to be married. I want to be in love. And I remember saying that out loud, like, I want to be married. I want to be in love. I want to be with someone. And my mom and my sister, they went to a live event. And the person that was singing on stage, they said, oh, you're going to like him. He's the person. He's interesting. And so I said, okay, I'm going to come. And so I went to this event, and they were right. I was like, he was just pretty much drawn to me, and we got each other's information, and everything was pretty much a whirlwind after that. He went straight in like that next week. He was like, let me take you on a date. I want to court you. I want to pursue you. And so he was a singer and he was a minister too. And so, he went full in, and he was like, I want to pursue you. I want to court you, using the Christianese words of like, I want to let's court and pursue and all of these things. And I was game for it because I really wanted to be in love and I really wanted to be in a relationship. And then he was in ministry too. And I thought that was like, okay, that's very fitting. Maybe God is answering a prayer that I've been asking for. There's something that I really need. Well, along in our relationship, we moved extremely quickly in our relationship. And there were some red flags along the way, but I just noticed that, you know, he was like, I want to pursue you. I want to do this quickly. Like, let's not waste each other's time, you know? And so around like three, like even like a month in, he was just like looking for apartments for himself. And I thought, he's just looking for apartments for himself. And he's like, hey, babe, can you come and visit, come with me to this apartment complex? And I'm like, oh yeah, I'll come with you. Like, I'll just go and like look with you at these apartments. I'm thinking that they're just for himself. And the people that are coming in, they're like, oh yeah. So they're directing more questions towards me. And I was like, what's going on here? Like, what's happening? What's happening? What's going on? And so eventually I kind of was like, okay, so what's happening here? Like, I feel like they're directing a lot of questions towards me. Like it's my apartment, or like it's going to be. And he was like, well, you know, we're planning on getting married quickly. This is not going to be a long process. So like, let's just be intentional. And it was always like, let's be intentional. You know, we want to do this. Let's get into this relationship. You know, we're going to be living together soon. And he had children at the time, so he wanted to provide some stability for them. And so I was like, okay. And I had heard a little bit of that story too. So I was like, okay, well, I'm down with it. If this is what God is calling me to do, I'll do it, you know? And of course I was still coming out of a place where I was being, just for context, I was coming out of a place where I was being very productive in ministry, to a place where there was no ministry and there was no doing anything. It was really mostly just like, oh, my life is quiet now. And so I think that hindsight, I think that there was just a sense of purposelessness there. And I feel like there was, he kind of saw that and he was like, okay, well, I can kind of, this, I'm going to give her a sense of purpose because I got these kids and I got this, I got a life that I want to have and I'm okay with making her my wife or whatever. But yes, long story short, we get married pretty quickly and I lost some friendships. I fell out with some family members and because there were some people who said, oh, this is crazy, Ashley, what are you doing? And for some reason, I just couldn't see. It was just, I don't know. I don't know if it was me being in love, me being young, me not having a sense of purpose at the time. But I was so fresh and so new. And I had a really pure heart posture at the time. So I just couldn't imagine this going wrong. I was like, oh, there's no way this could be anything wrong. But after we got married, I remember the day of our wedding, I had like a really eerie feeling. And I was like, Lord, what is this? What is this feeling? And so he called me that morning, actually, of our wedding. And he was like, hey, are you sure? And I was like, I went into total like protection mode. Like, no, like I'm positive. Like, I know that this is what the Lord has for us. Like, this is, we've planned this whole wedding, you know, in a short time. Like, don't back out of it now. Like, we've done it basically now. So let's not walk away right as, you know, on our wedding day. That's kind of crazy. My mom has invested all of this money in this wedding. Surely we're not going to just walk away from it. But I kind of, that was one of my biggest red flags, even, and my encouragement even to the viewers that are watching here, you know, they're going to be, if you're in a relationship that you shouldn't be in, and if it's really quick, going really quickly, ask yourself, why is it going so quickly? Like, why does it have to be now? But that was something that I really learned from that experience is like, first, when you see the red flags, take a second, breathe. You don't have, if you feel like you have to rush into it, it might not be God. It just might not be. But yeah, so we got married that day and it was just the wedding was nice, but the reception, the way everything kind of fell out, it was probably one of the worst days of my life. And I remember feeling super alone at my wedding. Yeah. But I wound up feeling super alone at my wedding and feeling like, wow, I'm at this table where everybody's here for me, but I feel like I'm by myself. And it's because my partner was running around. He was doing all of the things. And even it was at a point where like there was just things that are just falling apart at the reception where my mom and my sister and my best friend had to go out and try. They're trying to fix issues with the reception because we rushed it. We just did. We were doing everything so quickly. It was very, very, very traumatic. Next day, we go on our honeymoon and I notice we're getting hit up by everybody. And I noticed that everybody's kind of texting us. And I was like, I didn't know what it was. And I'm not a big I'm a check your phone type of person, but I just could kind of tell everybody was trying to collect their money for the wedding. And I was like, okay, everybody's trying to check and see where their money is. You know, I'm a very integrous person. So I'm just like, okay, we're going to make sure it's all taken care of. Like, but I wasn't in charge of a lot of some of the things for the wedding. He said he had it and he had everything in control. So I was like, okay, I'm going to trust him that, you know, I'm going to trust my husband that he has everything in control. And then on the way to our honeymoon destination, I noticed that he got off the car and then I looked down and I saw his phone ring and it was another lady. like another lady that, or it was a text message. And it was another lady that was texting him. And I was like, this feels, I'm not sure, but I didn't confront him about it because I just was like, I'm on my honeymoon. I'm going to just think, let me just think the best. I'm just going to think the best. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, his personality flipped as soon as we got married. He was doing these gigs and stuff like that. And then there was times that he just wasn't coming home. And not instantly. It was okay. Maybe for the first two weeks, three weeks, month. But slowly his personality started changing to where, you know, he was like, you know, I want to go to the cash store and get a payday loan. And I need you to do this in your name. You have to do this. Or if you don't, you know, I'm your husband. This is what I'm supposed to, you know, this kind of dictatorship type of thing. And I said, okay, I'll submit to that because you're my husband. But then it started to change to where it was like, he was doing a lot of late nights and a lot of, you know, cause he was a singer. So he was just doing a lot of late nights and stuff like that. And he just kept coming home later and later. And I was like, yo, like you have to come home, dude. Like you are actually married. We can't just stop. And then it goes into, he just stopped paying the bills. Like all the bills at the house wind up just resting on me. And it was just probably the most scariest and traumatic time of my life because I was still trying to help out with the kids every weekend. And I was like, I don't even know how we're paying this electric. I don't even know how I'm paying all this rent by myself because we had to get a place to accommodate, like a 2-bedroom or whatever to accommodate the space. But at the time, I'm 24 years old. I didn't have enough money to accommodate all of that by myself. So, yeah, we got to a desperate place pretty quickly. And there was a space where he just stopped coming home altogether. And I was begging pretty bad for like, okay, please let's make this work. We kind of jumped in, but like, let's at least try to save the marriage. Let's try to save this, not just for our sake, but for the children's sake. He just was completely resistant. He didn't want to do it. And I said, okay, I went to this marriage. No, it was a prophetic conference that I had to sing at. And ironically, that was the same day. And because I was desperate for money and I needed to sing background for it. So I was like, okay, I'm desperate for money. I need to sing background at this prophetic conference. I don't know what God has planned, but I'm just going to go. And towards this time, I started to really like seek God for the answers and seek God for help. Because I realized that it was a bad situation. And I was like, I was just petrified. And so I go in and to this marriage, to this prophetic conference, and I find out on like day two, day one was cool. It was nice to hear some of the revelation that was happening at the conference. But day two was interesting because before I went, I found out somebody reached out to me on Facebook and told me that my husband was cheating on me. And she was like, hey, you just deserve better than this. You don't deserve this or whatever. And I was like, oh, wow. Okay. This is okay. Yeah, it was pretty crazy, but trying to get my bearings. but when I went to the prophetic conference, I was singing on stage. I still had to, and I came to him. I was like, hey, like, are you talking to somebody? Were you trying to date people? And it was very crass of like, you know, I wasn't even trying to be in this relationship like that. And I was like, whoa, like we're married. What are you talking about? But anyway, I go on and I sing on stage or whatever. And I am just really surrendering my heart to God because I was at a very broken place. And we get off the stage and he's like, everybody pray. Everybody just lift your hands and pray. And I said, okay, I'm going to just do it. I'm just, you know, at this point, I'm all in with the Lord. And I'm just like, God, I need you to help me. Because I felt like I was called to this marriage and I don't know exactly what's going on. And so it was crazy because he said, you. He pointed me out. He said, you. And I looked and I said, who, me? He was like, that's you. Come up to the front. And so he was like, Yeah, he said, come up to the front. Yeah. And he just started speaking directly to my life. He told me some things that I even said in the car to my mom on the way there. He was like, I hear you saying this, that I'm not worthy, that I'm not worth it in the car. And I was like, talking to your mom. And I was like, yes, that's exactly what I said. That is, wow. That's crazy. And it was like, the pressure that you're carrying is way too much for you. He said, you've been attacked by the enemy. God had a purpose and a plan of direction for your life. And the enemy came in and tried to destroy your life. And he was like, this was just a massive attack of the enemy. So we're going to pray and ask God to deliver you and give you peace. And so he was like, yeah, this is just too heavy. He was like, I can feel the weight on you. And this, what everything that you're carrying is too heavy for you. And so he prays for me. And I feel a release come off of my shoulders. I'm bawling at the front of this church. And I'm just like, God, please let nobody know me, because this is just so embarrassing. It was so embarrassing. I was like, oh my God, Lord, help me. But as we progressed the next day, I was reaching back out to him, and I was just like, I'm willing to forgive the infidelity. I'm willing to do whatever we need to do. Because around that time, I had asked God to show me to love him as I said, Lord, help me to love him the way you love him. So even as he was doing whatever he was doing, I just was like, Lord, it's not even about what he's doing. Help me to love him through all of this. And I, mind you, I wasn't perfect. I'm not saying I was a perfect person in the marriage either, because I just had never been married before. But I wasn't doing anything crazy like that. Like, it was nothing crazy. But yeah, I was begging God, and I was begging him, and I realized that I wasn't getting a response. And one day I was even, but anyway, let me go back to when I was talking to him. I came back the next day. I talked to him. I said, Lord, I need either my husband to come back, because it was a time where I had to pay my rent and I just didn't have the money to pay it. I said, Lord, I either need my husband to come back, or I need to find a roommate to come and help me pay my rent for the next month. I was like, Lord, I need you to either restore this, because I'm scared and I don't know what to do. So the next day he asked me from the prophetic conference, the next day he was like, I want a divorce. I'm tired. I don't want a divorce. I don't want to keep on arguing with you, going back and forth with you about making this relationship work. Let it go. Wow. And I said, okay. I was like, okay. Well, okay. I was like, I'm going to let it go. And this is the day after I'm at this conference. I'm like, okay, I'm going to let it go. And so I said, okay. And I started filing the divorce immediately. I was like, okay, that's fine. I'm going to get out of this. But but ironically, that same day, my brother-in-law's sister needed a place to stay. And she came up with the other half of the rent. Wow. By the end of the week. And so I had made a very clear request to God. And I said, Lord, I either need you to save my marriage, or I need you to send me a roommate. And literally by that Saturday, the Lord had blessed me with a roommate, and we stayed, me and her. He left, and honestly, she was a beautician. So she helped, because my confidence was shattered. Everything was shattered after I went through that kind of traumatic situation. She came back and she just loved me back into condition. She just loved me so much during that time, and she helped me get back on my feet. And yeah, she just was a great support to me while I was going through that divorce or whatever. So yeah, we quickly got divorced, and I just never heard from him since. Like, I haven't talked to him in 7 years. It's been 7 years now. But yeah, that was crazy.
That is crazy. Well, and you know, something you said too, that you were mentioning earlier, that you know, there were a lot of red flags that you kind of ignored, and you stated that, you know, the day of the wedding, like, that was one, and then family and friends just not being okay, or losing some relationships over it. Were there other red flags that you're like, oh yeah, like, looking back now, like, yes, that is absolutely one? Or was it more of the ones that you kind of already shared?
Oh no! There were more red flags. It's just, even like, when we got the apartment, we moved in, like, the first day, he was like, okay, well, you are gonna watch my kids every weekend, and if you don't, then I'm leaving you. He's like, I'm just gonna leave you. And I was like, dude, we just signed the lease. Like, what? Like, we just signed the lease. And if I was smart, I would have just let him go. I'm like, all right, well, see you later. But I did not. I was like, okay, well, let me do what I need to do because I've gotten myself into this situation. And what I will share with you guys is that I was talking to my sister one time, and my sister, she's prophetic, which means that she just gets insight from the Lord. And so she said she saw me on the floor. This is a dream that she had, but she saw me on the floor in the bathroom, and there was vomit all over the floor, but I was cleaning the vomit with the wedding dress. Oh. And I said, oh my God. I said, oh my God. And then I realized what that actually meant. What it really meant is I made a mess. I moved impulsively. I jumped into something. And when I was in trouble, I started to try to clean up the mess, thinking that the marriage would clean up the mess. And marriage did not clean up the mess. And so, or thinking, because I was like, I'm in this situation now. Let me save it. Let me try to fix it. Let me just try to clean it up. Let me be quiet. Cause I could have reached out to my family and trying to find a cousin to roommate with me. It never even crossed my mind. It was always, let me try to fix this. Let me try to save the relationship from going the direction that it ended up going in inevitably. So yeah, it was really crazy. But, he told me one day as I was begging him to stay, he said, you don't know what I'm doing now, but you'll understand later. He said, you don't understand what I'm doing now, but you'll understand later. And I was like, this is stupid. Honestly, I thought that was stupid. But now I look back at my life and I looked how God restored me. And I look at the peace that I have. I look at the joy that I have. I look at the surrender that I have in my life. I think about how blessed I am in my life. I love my job. I love my family. I love every single thing about my life. Him walking away from me probably was the best decision that he did. I'm so happy that even though it caused me a lot of pain, I have a testimony, but also I am grateful that he did not waste several years of my life. He got in that marriage and he got right out. It didn't take him three years. It took him 3 months to get out of that situation. And so something that could have lasted me a lot of my life, he rejected me almost immediately. And I was like, oh my God, I thank you, Lord, that he came back and God really redeemed my life very quickly. So yeah, I'm happy.
Well, and even, you know, just like you said, 3 months, and then the dating prior to that, like that was a short amount of time to have had such a huge impact on your life that you said, you know, there was mm-hmm. just this trauma that you experienced. And like you said, too, you had this mm-hmm. Your friend moves in with you, or your brother-in-law's sister, she moves in with you. And being an esthetician or beautician, mm-hmm. she was able to just kind of help restore confidence. And, you know, yeah, like I would have imagined there's just a lot of diminishing feelings and a lot of low self-confidence and just pain and hurt and all of that. And so, as you've mentioned too, you've had to go on this huge path of growth and healing. And in the midst of all of that, what has that looked like for you just through this healing process?
I became, basically through that trauma, I just really dove into ministry like never before. So not ministering to other people, but just I just went searching for God, to be honest with you. Because there were so many things I couldn't even explain. How that man knew all of my business, and how he just told me everything about myself. And I just was like, okay, I need a return. I was like, I need a return to God. Like, I need to go and see actually what was the meaning of all of this. And so I went on this long, really self-discovery. And actually, I struggled for about a year or two after that happened to me, because I just was in depression. I was really depressed.
Yeah.
And I went through a season where I was just like, I don't believe that this has happened to me. My parents have been married for 32 years. And so I never thought that this was something that was going to, I don't know. I just never thought that that was going to be my story. But once I was able to come out of the depression and I realized that everything was working for my good and not against me, I started to look at, I think it's like Psych Go on YouTube. So I was like learning about emotions and feelings on YouTube. I went on this deep dive of like, you know what, I'm going to go and look up, I'm going to really get into my Bible. That's around the time when Michael Todd, he was coming out with his relationship goals series. So I was really into watching Transformation Church, and I was just watched sermon after sermon after sermon after sermon. And that's kind of, that was my life for a while. It's like, I just was like, I'm just thirsty for God and I just need him to help me. I need him to give me the answers that I need so I can get restored and filled up. And really some days that was the only way I could get filled up, is working and listening to sermons and reading my Bible and trying to just get myself back together, spending time with my family, because my family was a really big support system. Even after I got divorced and stuff like that, my family, they were there full throttle for me. So absolutely. It took a while. But after seeking the Lord and after prioritizing myself, getting like having being wise and learning from my mistakes. And even after I remember a time in my marriage where God said, I was sitting on the floor in the closet and the Lord said, is this what you wanted? Far as marriage is concerned. And I was like, no, God, this is not what I wanted. This is not what I wanted. And because I just wasn't happy in my marriage. I realized as soon as I got divorced, God showed me over and over again. There was like 2 weeks of God just showing me everything that I did wrong. Just like boom, 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 boom. This is because I genuinely didn't know, but it's almost like God just lifted a veil from my eyes and he was like, hey, this is what happened. This is what you did wrong. This was an opportunity. This was an opportunity. But I know the biggest thing that I learned from that was that marriage was an idol for me. And so I wanted to be married and I wanted to have a sense of purpose more than I even wanted, maybe even the will of God, or trying to be in the will of God. The desire for marriage and the desire to not be alone, it really put me in a situation where it endangered my life and put me in a scary situation. So I like to say, I humbled myself to the Lord, and I decided, okay, now who do you want to be? And I got to ask myself, which is, I had to ask myself, like, who do you want to be? Like, what can you do now? And I was like, okay, I'm going to start writing. Okay, I want to start singing. Okay, I want to start anything that I put my, like, literally, I had a brainstorm of ideas after I came out of my rut. I was like, okay, I'm going to just start writing songs. So I started writing songs and producing songs and stuff like that. And then I decided to go back to college because I always had a desire to be a producer. And so I just was like, I'm going to go back to college and get my degree. And so then I started working. I interned for this wonderful man named Fred Hammond. I was interning with him for a time. And then I started college. And I just really went on this tailspin of like, okay, Lord, I know the plans that you have for me are good. I believe that I deserve more in my life. And a lot of times we don't get what we deserve in life. It's because we just don't believe that we deserve it. But I started to believe in myself and I started to really seek God, and he really just blessed me. He started giving me so much favor. And so now I've graduated. I graduated college in October, and it's been absolutely amazing. Me and my family were about to open a wedding venue, which is absolutely insane. Yeah. So today right now it's February, but I graduated in October, and God said he was going to use me. It was crazy because I was praying. I was talking to God in January 1st. And he said that he was going to use me to bless marriages. And I said, why me? I was like, why me? Because I have this interesting testimony of going through trauma behind a marriage. Why would you choose me to do that? But I think he wants to use me to bless a lot of marriages, and not just bless them, but to warn a lot of single ladies to not idolize marriage, but to put God at the center of your marriage. Because if he's in the middle of your marriage, then he'll be able to bless it and he'll walk with it, even in the middle of your courtship. Like, I believe God needs to be in the center of your courtship. So while you're getting to know people and getting to know, you just have interactions with each other, like being slow, putting God in the center, praying together, getting family to agree with you on something. So women, and this is something I had to learn too, is I am okay with submitting to my father now, like than never before, because my dad, he wanted to save me in that other situation, but I was like kind of rushing the whole thing. And I was like, no, it's my decision. It's my decision. And during, in my marriage, my dad, it was like, I really wish you would have given me more opportunity to be your father and cover you. And we would have been able to see this. And he couldn't protect me in the way that I wanted him to, or that he felt like he could have protected me. So now as I'm courting and I'm pursuing, you know, or people are pursuing me, now I'm just like, okay, well, you know, my dad is a big part of this. And so like, I have a family and a community around me, and I have my church members around me, and we're all watching you. So it's very interesting.
Wow. Yeah, what a huge testimony just to God's work and his grace in your life. And there's a few things I want to touch base on. But something you did mention just a little bit ago was when you were talking about your marriage and you said that you wanted to find purpose in your life, and you felt that because if you were to get married, then you would have purpose. Now, looking back and realizing, you know, marriage doesn't equal purpose, what, you know, how has that changed? Or what would you say, you know, what would you say to your younger self who believed I have to have purpose, and through that it's marriage? What would you say?
I would say find your purpose and your peace in the Lord. It sounds so crazy, but the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And I did not necessarily believe that. I was like, I'm a make it happen type of girl. So whatever I want, I can make it happen. But like, I'm like, let's go. I'm going for the races. I've been on tour. I've traveled the world. I've sung in all of these places. And I was so used to making so many things happen for myself. But I realized that marriage humbled me in such a way to where I realized that I could have walked away, but I'm not in control of everybody, and I'm not in control of everything. I realized, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything will be added unto you. And I didn't believe that scripture. I didn't take it to heart, but I learned with time is that if you really seek the Lord and you pursue him, he will give you the desires of your heart. And typically it's bigger than anything you can ask, think, or imagine. So for me, even I've always loved weddings. My mom, she was into the wedding business when we were children. And I just never could imagine, okay, I'm going to own a wedding business, or I'm going to own like my own venue. I would have never even thought to even think of that. But God has already given us so much favor. We just started looking for a venue and we found the venue easily. Like, God has just given so much favor when it comes to doing that. But instead of looking for marriage, or instead of looking for purpose, I just started seeking God. And when I started seeking God, he showed me everything that he wanted me to be. He revealed to me who I am and who I'm called to be. He reminded me of my purpose when I was low and I was having moments of like, you know, I'm not sure, or doubt. But yeah, that's what I would tell myself when I was younger. I would really try to push that point of, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and everything else to be added. Don't think about the house. Don't think about the home. Don't think about the family. Don't think about the children. If you can get to God, then you'll have everything.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so good for anyone else who finds their purpose, and whether it's marriage or career or home, you know, like, that's just a good answer for anybody in any type of situation. Well, something else you said too, just a little bit ago, was that you got your degree in October. You said October, right?
Yes, I graduated college in October. Absolutely.
You graduated college in October. Yes. So congratulations for that. And I know your degree. Yeah, that's a huge accomplishment. It was audio engineering and network administration. So, you know, that's not a common degree for women as well. Why, you know, you mentioned too before that you had, I guess, tech school for network administration previously. So why, I guess, audio engineering for producing music, you know, do you see that most women, there's a lot of women that pursue this or not so much? How have you had to push yourself towards these degrees?
It feels like a male-dominated space. I was working with a lot of male producers, and I just noticed that I just loved doing the producing part. I was like, man, I always really was in awe with what they were doing. And I was like, man, I really want to do that myself. Like, I want to be able to control things and control the audio and stuff like that and the vocals. And I could always, like all the time, I could always hear all of the parts. And I was frustrated with just not knowing how to do it myself. So instead of being like, keep on paying other people to do it for me and then making, like trying to sing out the songs for them to get exactly what I wanted them to do, I was like, let me just learn how to do this myself. And I'm so happy for that, because now I get to help other women and give other women a safe space to produce music and stuff like that. So that's another one of my dreams. I want to actually open up a music studio, and I want to be able to bless people and bless women with a safe place for creating music or just creating, cultivating ideas.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I love it. And like you said, you wanted to do it for be able to produce your own music, and then you tell somebody, hey, I want you to sing it this way, but then you're like, well, if I can make it work for myself to do it exactly how I want to, why am I not going to do that? Well, and then so you just shared too that you want to, you're about to open up this wedding venue and then music producing. And so where do you see just like this next season? What does this look like for you? Share any more dreams that you have or different projects that you have coming up. I'd love to hear that.
Right now I have, you can go to thevindyproject.com and you can actually see, you can find my music. You can find me on Instagram. My name is Vindy Ashley on Instagram, and I keep everybody updated with what's going on. So I have music out right now. I have a single called In the Room, and it's my latest single. I released it in September, but it's actually just talking about in the darkest place of your life, God is always in the room. He's always been there, and he's never left you. And so I absolutely love that song. It's so much fun. And then the song before that, it's Breathe On Me, and I actually wrote those songs during that, like after that crazy situation, I wrote it. And I was just asking God to breathe on me, breathe life into me again, give me a fresh outlook. And it was healing for me. I played that song over and over and over over myself. And I really think it'll bless anybody who's going through something. And I just need God to breathe on them. And really for me, it was prophetic. It was like a prophetic declaration of God. If you just breathe on me, then everything will be okay. Like I'll be able to face tomorrow. I can face life if you just breathe. So yeah, I have a couple singles out. Go look it up on YouTube. And my name is Vindy. So V-E-N-D-I.
Yeah, we got to check those songs out. I need to want to listen to the one that you just mentioned. Well, both of them or all of your music, but that last one in particular just sounds like it's very touching for you. Well, so, you know, you've a lot has happened just in your short amount of life. At, you said, 33 years of age, you had to overcome a very difficult divorce and then learn to accept who you are at a young age, that you are more than a divorced woman, more than a single woman, more than a woman in tech, just more than your age, basically. And so why is this message of being more than your age or more than your particular season in life important to you?
It's so important. It's so important to me because now I'm 30, I'm 32, but now
32, sorry. I'm in my
No, you're fine. You're fine. You're fine. But the older I get, the sweeter life becomes, because I know who I am and I know where I'm going and I'm more decisive about my life. And so I love my life now, but it's because I'm being intentional with it. And it's because I'm doing the work on myself and I'm doing a lot of healing on myself. So I'm not pointing the finger at anybody else. The life that I have is because, it's because I've surrendered to the Lord, and it's because of the favor of God and the grace of God. And so, yeah, I'm not my age, but the older I get, the more wise I am and the more wisdom I carry. And so, I just love the fact that we can always get into new situations. We can always take a chance on ourselves, and we have experience now to be able to back us up. And it's a beautiful thing to be able to have life experience and wisdom and knowledge on how to do really fulfill our dreams now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love too that you're not letting a really difficult situation. I mean, I know you had to work through that, but not letting your age stop you from, one, getting a degree at the time you were 31, and then now pursuing this wedding venue business and then wanting to produce music. Like, you're chasing after these things and not letting your age stop mm-hmm. you or your season in life prevent you from that. And so I think that's really encouraging. And I've got my last question for you, Vindi, which is a question that I love to ask all of my guests. And mm-hmm. so I want to hear what you think as well. Mm-hmm. So if you could encourage one woman mm-hmm. who does feel blocked or limited to pursue a dream or a goal mm-hmm. based on her age or life circumstance, what would you tell her?
Mm-hmm. I would tell her that you can do anything. You can do anything. I struggled with self-worth for a long time, but I realized that you are necessary. Your life, it matters. Everything that you say, everything that you do, it matters to other people, but it really matters to God. And God has never left you. He's never forsaken you. He really cares about you. And so remember, God loves you. And even if you don't remember it, here he's introducing himself to you. He wants to have a deeper relationship with you, and just discover who you are. It's completely okay with taking a chance or a risk on yourself, because you're worth it.
Love it. Thank you, Vindi. I am looking forward to seeing just what happens with this wedding venue that you guys are pursuing, that your family's pursuing, your music career, just your music producing, and just the next steps that happen for you in your life. I will put your Instagram, your website, just Spotify Music linked in the show notes so people can find you. And I just appreciate you joining the More Than Your Age podcast, Vindi. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was so much fun talking to you today.
Likewise.
If you were encouraged by today's episode, like and subscribe to this podcast and share this episode with a friend. You can find me on Instagram @morethanyourage and visit the More Than Your Age Facebook page. Keep striving for your goals, live fully, and we'll catch you next time on the More Than Your Age podcast.